From Hollywood, California, and a naval base in Noumea, New Caledonia, Autolite brings you Everything for the Boys, the command theater of the air, starring Mr. Ronald Coleman and his guest for tonight, Miss Ella Logan. Everything for the Boys is presented by the Electric Autolite Company and its 22 great manufacturing plants. Builders of precision equipment for 35 years. World famous for Autolite spark plugs, batteries, wire, cable, and electrical systems for automotive, aviation, and marine use. Here is your host, Mr. Ronald Coleman.
Thank you and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, we offer a sprig of laurel laid upon the crypt of a dean. Gene Fowler's unforgettable and stirring story, The Jarvis Bay, goes down. We also have a charming guest, Miss Ella Logan. And the two of us will journey 7,000 miles to New Caledonia to talk with two American sailors. To them, and to all the men and women of the United Nations Armed Forces, we dedicate this global half hour.
A former Autolite employee, a fighter pilot recently returned from 11 months combat duty overseas who wears the Purple Heart, said, "In this war, it's not individual action, but teamwork that counts. And it's teamwork that counts on the home front. Teamwork in Autolite plants from coast to coast in the United States and Canada. For example, the Autolite Battery Corporation at Niagara Falls, New York, is one of six Autolite plants that builds batteries for combat cars, aircraft, and tanks. A big part of the work is in packing the batteries, packing them so that they can be shipped anywhere in the world without damage. It's hard and heavy work packing batteries, and sufficient help was not available. Then, Autolite teamwork went into action. Canadian Murray Cherry, Irish John O'Shaughnessy, English Len Knight, full-blooded American Indian Chief Rickard, Italian Bill Curto, American William Reese, all office employees, assistant managers, inspectors, and executives, made up an extra shift. They are giving two evenings a week to speeding the shipment of Autolite batteries to the fighting fronts in addition to their regular full-time duties. Teamwork is the United Nations way of winning the war. Teamwork is the Autolite way of getting precision-made equipment on schedule to the boys overseas. Now, here is Mr. Coleman again.
Caledonia. That's another name for Scotland. So it's fitting that for the boys in New Caledonia, we have a lass from Old Caledonia. Ladies and gentlemen, may I present our guest, Miss Ella Logan. Good evening, Ella. We're happy to welcome you home again after your trip overseas.
It's good to be home, Ronnie. But it was good being overseas working for the boys. I went over for 6 weeks and stayed for 5.5 months.
And you entertained thousands of them in North Africa, Italy, and Great Britain. Won't you tell us something about it, Ella?
Oh, gosh, Ronnie. I'm so full of speeches about what I saw, I'd have you hanging on the ropes if I started.
Well, while you were over there, were you able to do a show for the commandos?
Yes, for our American commandos. Only we don't call them commandos. They're called the United States Rangers. In fact, I dedicated a song to them.
And now you're going to sing it for us, hmm?
Surely. Got a date with a ranger. I'm gonna meet him at 7. I got a date with a ranger, so I'm on my way to heaven. He's so powerful beside me, or let whatever betide me, 'cause I got my ranger to guide me, so I'm on my way to heaven. Oh, soon the bells, they will ring out, as with victory we sing out. Then me and my ranger will swing out, as he beckons to me. I've been waiting a lifetime, just for this evening at 7. I got a date, I got a date with a ranger, so I'm on my way to heaven.
Thank you, Ella. That was grand.
Thanks. And, Ronnie, I understand you have a story about another fighting man. Now I'm going to listen to you.
Russian girl sniper holds back Nazi advance. Flyer crash dives jet destroyer. New Zealand infantry counterattacks Rommel tanks. Flying fort smash Ploesti oil fields. Marine heroes win Guad airstrip. Lone British flyer fights off Luftwaffe bombers.
The headlines pound at you day after day. Men fighting, dying. News of heroism brought by cable, wire, and radio from every corner of the earth.
Congressional Medal, Victoria Cross, Air Medal, Distinguished Service Cross.
Colin Kelly, Jr., Dory Miller, Joe Foss.
So many headlines, so many heroes. A few days ago, Major Richard Bong. Before that, another flying hero, Captain Don Gentile. Remember Squadron Leader Hugh Gibson, the dam buster? Given the Victoria Cross for destroying the dams in Germany. And Sergeant Charles Kelly of the United States Infantry, who won the Congressional Medal of Honor. Barclay, the PT boatman. Miller, the first Negro to win the Navy Cross. Yes, Colin, Kelly, Hugh Gibson, Finucane and Foss, Gentile and Bond, and what of Captain Fogarty Fagan, remember? Yes, what of Fogarty Fagan and the Merchant Marine? Remember the Jarvis Bay?
Bulletin from the London Bureau of Associated Press, November 6, 1940. The Admiralty reports the sinking of HMS Jarvis Bay while on convoy duty in mid-Atlantic.
She's an old freighter of some 14,000 tons standing in the roadstead of a port somewhere south of Singapore. She lists a bit as if wearied by the typhoons of the China Seas, by the whole gales of Tasman, by the turbulence of wind off Borneo. Her gear is obsolete, her iron skin blistered, pocked with rust. Her engines are rheumatic, and her sawtooth screw will yield less 14 knots. She is the old Jarvis Bay, of Australian registry, resting between tides from her obscure drudgeries somewhere south of Singapore. She nods at her mooring cables, head bent to the dry monsoon. The Jarvis Bay is nodding, half asleep, when a gig draws alongside, and there is brought aboard, solemnly, a flag with a blue field. A storied ensign, emblem of Britain's naval reserve. This of itself becomes a rousing circumstance to one so frowsed, so drably sleeping somewhere south of Singapore. Up the starboard ladderway there comes a new master, puffing somewhat with middle age. He looks about, he looks above, below, forward, aft he peers. His is the manner of a man recapturing a memory.
I'm on a ship again. My ship. The boards creak. The smell of tar and oil. Everything the same except myself.
He is Fogarty Fagan, called from retirement to command the Jarvis Bay. For 10 years, Fogarty Fagan has walked in his English garden, watching the roses bud, the violets bloom, enjoying each miracle of season that brings white blossoms to the hawthorn hedge. But now he has left his barrow and his slips to bring the storied ensign with its blue field, blue as the violets of his garden, bringing it from afar to the old Jarvis Bay.
All right. Let's be at it. Lively, men.
His voice rolls against the breakwater. His big hands grasp the teakwood rail. He swears a bit. And finally, the Jarvis Bay awakens. Soon, a battery is supplied. A small one, guns of 5-inch caliber. Then, with 100 young reservists for her crew, the Jarvis Bay puts out to sea from somewhere south of Singapore. Captain Fogarty Fagan has a distant rendezvous with other old masters, summoned from retirement, called by their king from their little farms, from their office stools, from their fireside chairs, from the cities and the shires. The threefold war, earth, sky, sea, beggars the world. Ships go down, each day go down, and bottoms must be had to bear cargoes to Britain. Now, up comes the Jarvis Bay, up from tropical waters, through Suez, through the Strait of Gibraltar, out and across the Atlantic, and to the Americas. In a harbor of the north, and with brave haste, the old hulls are laded to their loading lines with cargoes for Britain. Captain Fogarty Fagan listens to the rumbling of winches, hears the Samson posts creak, hears the chains and blocks complain, parries his first officer, Mr. Wilson, with command. As things needful for the life beat of England's great heart are stowed aboard.
Hurry! Stand me, Mr. Wilson, sir. We're not sleeping now, Mr. Wilson, somewhere south of Singapore.
From a Canadian bay, from behind the fog bank of November dawn, a convoy line puts out. 38 ships put out to sea with cargoes for Britain.
10,000 cases of powdered milk, 200 truckloads Red Cross supplies, 400 cases vitamin concentrate.
A consignment to help sustain the life beat of England.
100 cases surgical instruments, blood plasma, wool blankets.
Goods to provision an isle that for 1,000 years has prized the freedom and the dignity of man. The gun crews of the Jarvis Bay sleep beside their battery. They seem young seminars with Parker hoods, cowling their heads to keep out the cold sea rime.
I can't sleep.
Why not?
I keep thinking about home. I just got married.
Well, you better get some sleep, then. You'll be home soon enough.
Night falls. A great and somber hymn. The night of November the 4th, 1940 years since our Lord, is an anthem of wind and small following sea. The morning comes like a priest upholding a golden monstrance. The morning of the 5th finds the Jarvis Bay and her convoy strung like a procession of pilgrims against the dawn. The ship's bell sounds. The practice rounds are fired. The sun is on the meridian, and Fogarty Fagan shoots the sun for latitude. 8 bells again, and Fogarty Fagan shoots the sun for longitude. And then at 5 o'clock, the lookout calls from the crow's nest.
Ships are off the starboard bow!
Through his glass, Fogarty Fagan makes out smoke, a black gargoyle in the sky, east for southeast. Then sights a ship hull down. And now, a battleship comes boiling over the horizon. She opens fire with heavy guns. Captain Fogarty Fagan telegraphed his engine room to strain the boilers till they burst. He bellows, curses, brings to bear the pump guns of his battery against the Goliath armor of the battleship. He sends up smoke to screen the fleet. He orders all the convoy ships to scatter wide and fast. Then Fogarty Fagan sets out alone to meet the battleship. 5-inch guns against 11-inch guns. Dead shell hull against truck plate. Jammy, Mr. Wilson, sir, we're not hearing mandolins today somewhere south of Singapore.
This is a mad thing to do, this. The charge of the Jarvis Bay. Yet the sky of dead admirals looks down from the Grand Haven, looks down at Fogarty Fagan, whose senile tub steams bows on for the battleship. Nelson, Drake, Beatty, Harwood, yes, and the Americans, Porter, Farragut, and John Paul Jones, all look down in wonderment. Now a burst of shrapnel rakes the Jarvis Bay and tears the right arm from the sleeve of Fogarty Fagan. He does not fall. He grasps the teakwood rail with his other hand, masking his agony with bellowings that rise above the guns.
nor will he let the tourniquet be placed upon the stomach. He waves the stomach. And Mr. Wilson knows, and the sky of dead admirals know, that if a hand were there, it would be making a great fist. Still steaming toward the battleship, Fogarty Fagan keeps his little guns ablast. The eyes of the setters and of the pointers grow black and blue from the recoil. Their eardrums dead. The salvo comes with the top roll of the battleship. And now, Jensen, emblem with the blue field, is shot away. Enraged, bloody, rocking on his heels, Fogarty Fagan roars, "Hoist another ensign, damn you, Mr. Wilson, sir! Hoist another flag that we may fight as Englishmen!"
A bosun procures a flag from the locker, a flag used for the burial of the dead at sea.
Yes, sir.
And to a brace he bends the banner of England. The Jarvis Bay, ablaze from stern to bow, at dusk still fires her puny guns and will not change her course. Salvos from turrets, guns three over three, make great geysers grow about the old ship's wake, but still her guns give voice. And now she's struck below the waterline. Her boilers go. The Jarvis Bay begins to settle by the stern. Yet, sinking, still she faces her antagonist. Then the waters begin to close over her. The waters close over Fogarty Fagan and over the flag that once was used for burials at sea. And now night spreads its shroud. Of 38 ships in the convoy, 29 are saved, their cargoes saved to help sustain the lifebeat of England. While from the sky, dead admirals look on and claim Captain Fogarty Fagan for their own. The Jarvis Bay goes down. Goes down as no mere casualty of storm to rust out fathoms deep in common grave with sisters unremembered by the years. The Jarvis Bay, of Australian registry from somewhere south of Singapore, goes down in the history of an isle that for 1,000 years has prized the freedom and the dignity of man.
Just heard Gene Fowler's memorable story, The Jarvis Bay Goes Down, as narrated by Ronald Coleman. The original musical score was composed by Major Meredith Wilson, and our orchestra and chorus was conducted by Gordon Jenkins. In a moment, Miss Ella Logan will join Mr. Coleman to talk with two American sailors stationed at an Allied base in Umeå on the island of New Caledonia. But first, a word from Autolite. Has spring arrived at your house? Then include your car in your spring cleaning routine. With warm weather just ahead, it's a good idea, if you haven't already done so, to drain the antifreeze solution from the radiator and store it for use next winter. Then flush the entire cooling system to get rid of rust and scale that has accumulated during the cold weather. Make certain the fan belt is in good condition and the fan well lubricated. Summer heat is rough on car engines, too, so change to a summer grade of oil in the crankcase. And among the other important things that will contribute to trouble-free driving this summer is a complete checkup of the electrical system from generator to battery to spark plugs. For the electrical system is the lifeline of your car. any one of the thousands of Autolite service stations, your car dealer, or your serviceman can give your car the attention it deserves. And should worn parts need replacing, install Autolite parts, specified as factory equipment in America's finest cars. Remember, the name Autolite means precision manufacturing. Now, here is Mr. Coleman again.
Now, Ella, in a moment, we'll be getting through to Noumea in New Caledonia, way down under in the Pacific.
Do we take the high road or the low road, Ronnie?
Neither. This time, the road takes us.
Mr. Coleman, the circuit to New Caledonia is through now.
Thank you. Now, put on these earphones and hold tight.
Got a date with a sailor.
I know, with two sailors. Here we go. This is Ronald Coleman and Ella Logan calling Noumea, New Caledonia. This is Hollywood calling. Come in, Noumea.
Hi there, Hollywood. This is Van Horn speaking.
Hello, radioman, first class Orville Edward Van Horn.
Howdy, Orville.
Howdy, Ella. Miss Logan.
Just Ella, to Orville.
That's well, but skip the Orville and call me Ben. Everybody does.
Ben it is. Chief radioman Ralph Woodward, are you there?
Butch is right here, Mr. Coleman, but he swallowed his tongue.
Butch?
Well, that's what they call me, Mr. Coleman.
Ben and Butch. That's my boys.
Hello, Miss Logan.
Greetings, fellas. I'm chock full of messages from home for you.
That's right. Ben, we called your wife in San Diego.
Right, you did, Mr. Coleman. How's Betty?
Oh, she's feeling fine now, Ben.
Great. She was pretty ill for a while.
But all the news is good now. She sends her love.
Did Betty tell you about Steve?
Of course, Ben. Your son is 19 now, and he talks, too.
He does?
Ella meant 19 months.
Sure. You know, I haven't seen him since he was 2 months old.
Well, he's in the pink.
Pink? Oh, I get it. Well, tell him his dad is in the tan.
In the tan? Oh, yeah, I imagine you have what's left over of our California sun down there.
We have plenty of sun, Mr. Coleman.
Well, Ben, we have more news. Your mother is visiting your sister Margaret in Los Angeles, and they're both well. And your nieces, Nancy and Peggy, and nephew, Tommy, are fine, and say hello to Uncle Ben.
And we've heard that your brothers, John, instructor for the V-12 Navy training program, and Charles in the Army, oh, they're fine.
That's a swell report. It makes me feel almost at home.
Well, Ben, you've been away for a long time. Is there something we can do for you over here?
Just talking to the States is great.
Ella, what about a seafaring song for the lads, huh?
Well, this is the only seafaring song I know, brother. My Bonnie lies over the ocean. Oh, my Bonnie lies over the sea. My Bonnie lies over the ocean. Oh, bring back my Bonnie to me. Bring back, oh, bring back. Bring back my Bonnie to me. Bring back, oh, bring back. Bring back my Bonnie to me. Now blow ye winds over the ocean. Oh, blow ye winds over the sea. Ooh, blow ye winds over the ocean. And bring back my Bonnie to me. Bring back my Bonnie, bring back my Bonnie. Bring back my Bonnie to me. You gotta bring him back, oh, bring him back. Bring back my Bonnie to me. Now the wind has blown over the ocean. Ooh, yes, the wind has blown over the sea. Ooh, the wind has blown over the ocean. And they brought back this turkey to me. But take him back, give him back, throw him back, toss him back. We have agreed to disagree. You can't have him back, send him back, shove him back. This is the end of my Bonnie and me.
How has that been?
Bonnie, Miss Logan, Bonnie.
Well, we haven't forgotten you, Butch Woodward. We called your mother in Hudson, New York, and are glad to report all is well. Your mother and your father, your brother Richard in the Coast Guard, William Jr. in the Navy, and John, electrician in the defense plant.
And John's son, William the Third, and Dick's children, Janet and Ronnie.
Yeah, and Ronnie is just fine, Butch, both of us.
That's great. Say, Mom, I got my promotion this month. I'm Chief Regiment now.
Oh, congratulations. She'll be proud to hear that. Butch, I understand you're a veteran, too.
Well, I've been in the Navy for 6 years.
And you've been in New Caledonia since February 1942.
Yes, sir. I'm practically a native now. I married a French girl on the island.
So you really believe in the United Nations?
That's right, and so does Monique. That's my wife.
Well, for you and Monique and the rest of you in New Caledonia, here's a little song. And our hearts sang on. Was it the spell of Paris or the April dawn? I know that we will meet again. But until the morning chimes ring sweet again, I'll be seeing you in all the old familiar places that this heart of mine embraces. All day through in that small cafe, the park across the way, the children's carousel, and the chestnut tree, and the wishing well. I'll be seeing you in every lovely summer's day, in everything that's bright and gay. I'll always think of you that way. I'll find you in the morning sun, and when the day is through, I'll be looking at the moon. But
boys, we all hope we'll be seeing you soon, too.
Yes, sir. We'll be back one of these days. And if you don't mind my saying so, I hope the things we've learned out here about one people and one world won't be forgotten.
Well, as another scout, Bobby Burns, said, it's coming yet for all that man to man, the world o'er, shall brothers be for all that.
For all that and all that.
Time's up, sir.
Well, that's all for now, fellas, so it's good night.
It's good morning for us down here, and it's been a mighty good one.
Good night.
Goodbye, Mr. Sherman and Miss Logan.
Good night, men.
Good draw, good neck, my boys, and God bless you all.
A Red Cross worker, Esther Richards, was on a hospital ship going into the beach at Salerno. The ship was hit by a bomb. Although Esther Richards was injured, she soon recovered and went back to her duties. A few weeks ago, she was in a receiving tent of an evacuation hospital on the Anzio beachhead below Rome. An enemy bomb struck the tent, riddling it with shrapnel. Esther Richards was killed in the line of duty. May we pay tribute, ladies and gentlemen, to this woman who so nobly represented us through our American Red Cross. Join us next week when the Electric Autolite Company again presents Everything for the Boys, your new global half hour, uniting the home front and the fighting fronts overseas. Your host, Mr. Ronald Coleman, will have as his guest Miss Ingrid Bergman in Arch Oboler's radio dramatization of Albert Casella's stirring Death Takes a Holiday. Following the play, Miss Bergman and Mr. Coleman will talk by two-way shortwave radio with a pair of Coast Guardsmen in Naples, Italy.
So until next week, when Ingrid Bergman is our guest, along with two of our men in the United States Coast Guard, this is Ronald Coleman saying goodnight to you and the boys, and God be with you.